Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to the show and thanks for tuning in. Today we're on a cold, blustery morning here in the capital city in the WLNZ studios. I have Coach Radek in here with me again this morning. He's sort of turned into a co-host for the show. And it's just him and I in the studios this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about the start of our season, because that's where we're at this point. And then we're also going to talk about heading to the American Baseball Coaches Association National Convention, which was something that we just traveled to this past weekend. And it is my 11th year of going to this convention and Coach Radek's first year. So there's some different perspectives, and Ryan asked some incredible questions on the drive down about what to expect and things like that, and we're just going to kind of cover it. So Ryan, what was your first impressions of the convention when we said, hey, do you want to go to this? What was the initial thoughts?
Well, I've heard of the ABCA convention before.
Because I think I talked about it last year to some degree and prior. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. But I did not understand the sheer magnitude of how big the convention actually was and the association. I just kind of blew it off and thought I was going to be in a room full of maybe 50 guys talking about baseball.
And obviously, if you're not aware of how big the convention is, it's grown to about 6,000 coaches that are in really big places that they host it. Last year was in Washington, D.C. It's been in Nashville. It's kind of been all over. Somewhat, they try to centralize it so for people to travel. But yeah, like that's probably the biggest thing about the convention is the sheer amount of people. And of course, I remember going to my first one 11 years ago, and I showed up in a suit, and I wasn't the only one in a suit that day, but there wasn't a ton of people in suits. Did you see any suits this year?
Maybe two.
Yeah, maybe two. Yeah. Yes. I think the numbers 11 years ago were higher. So I remember that. I remember during those 11 years, I've represented travel ball organizations, you know, a couple different high schools, summer collegiate teams, and of course LCC there, you know. And man, that's the other thing is you're walking around, you're just amassed in all these people. It's like you see every logo in the country, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming at the start. Got to see colleges that and schools that I've never even heard of. But it was really cool to see the turnout. It was very impressive, and it seemed like everybody there was looking to learn something.
Yeah, that was a big thing. We had Coach Alec and Coach Mo went with us, and I remember at some point Coach Alec turned to me and said, Tim Corbin's sitting right there, you know. Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. So it was always a big piece of going to these kind of things just to try to grow, try to connect. And then the other really interesting thing, if you're a baseball fan, is the trade show that they have there. And you go into this basically what's the size of a football field every season, and it's everything under the sun. I mean, what are some of the things that you saw in the trade show?
I saw basically every baseball brand was there. Mm-hmm. I saw anything from batting cage supplies to the turf you use in the field to different types of fungos and all different types of apparel.
Yeah, gadgets yeah. galore, yeah. you know, and sometimes if you have a little bit of longevity in the game, you'll go, and then the next year that gadget is no longer, and some of them you see actually grow, and some of them we've purchased and used, you know, through the seasons. So it's a baseball mecca for mm-hmm. coaches, and you see coaches from all levels, whether it's professional baseball to, you know, little league coaches, and they have things geared for speakers. They have a youth side, and you know, then they have the other side, and you're pretty much free to move around and listen to what you want to listen to and kind of pick and choose, and they lay out the schedule pretty beautifully. It's on an app and you can kind of go your own direction. So when I think back about what made me first go to the very first one, it was a curiosity. I wanted to know. There certainly wasn't 6,000 people there at that point. There was some really, I think, important people that helped grow the ABCA, but the American Baseball Coaches Association in general has done a phenomenal job of growing the brand and growing the unity and everything else. And so one of my biggest takeaways when I came home was thinking about just the pure mass of information that we were given over a four-day span, and then thinking about we live in a society that is filled with information, and for the most part, you can find anything or how to do anything, but finding it isn't really the biggest answer. It's the action behind it, and what do you do with the information you get? The other piece of the convention is you also hear some things that you maybe don't believe in or you don't agree with. And I think that's positive too. And I've always felt like with the speakers and the people that stand on stage, I felt two things. One, they're typically baseball coaches in one way, shape, or form. They're not professional speakers. And I've seen them get, you know, ridiculed by other people for how they speak or, you know, their speeches. And I always think they're coaches. They're not professional speakers. But then there's the other piece of it where it's just like, yeah, maybe there's something that's said that you don't agree with, but there's value in understanding what not to do too. Was there any other takeaways of the ABCA, of the experience beyond just the trade show and the sheer amount of people?
Well, like you said, the sheer magnitude of information was something that I was very happy with. I really liked taking notes. I like writing down my notes, to be honest. And I realized after the first day that was not going to be possible for the entire thing.
Why is that?
Because I probably wrote down more in 2 hours than I have ever in my life, it felt like. So I had to move to my computer and start typing. But I really liked how they didn't really just stack certain philosophies like back to back to back. It was more like, oh, here's something about hitting, and then here's something about vision training.
Right.
Here's something about mental performance. And they did a decent job structuring that each day to where you're not hearing the same thing over and over again throughout the day.
One of the things that I think I was proud of, and I wanted to bring it to light more or less to you, not necessarily to our listeners, but we were there this year for the first speaker, and that room was packed for Jay Johnson, you know, national championship baseball coach. And we were there for the last speaker too. And the room was not packed at that point. There was thousands of seats available. Did that strike you at all that morning, Sunday morning?
Yeah, I believe that people felt that getting that information on that last day or a flight leaving was a little more important than gaining more information. And in our program, we like to stick things through and get as much information as possible.
Yeah, consistency is a superpower, no doubt. And I just felt like that was a win for everybody that was sitting in the room. And I know the people that were standing up there speaking, talking about what they were asked to talk about, certainly appreciated the people that were still there, because I heard multiple. I think there was three speakers left that morning. And I think two out of the three commented on, appreciate you guys being out here, you know. So I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about you know, super exciting thing. We are getting ready to start year five here, and we are just started. We just kicked off our spring season. Now, to backtrack a little bit, we had our fall season that started in August, and we were able to play scrimmages and practice, and we implemented a lot of different systems, and we found things that worked really well, and we found things that didn't work as well. And I think, you know, it was your first kind of rodeo on the, we'll call it the other side of the dugout, you know, the left side of the dugout, that front step of the dugout where the coaches are, you know, and you had to find some balance between friendships and mentoring, and you're still working on that kind of stuff. It's not a line, you, it's a gradual thing. And we go through the entire fall. It's an incredible fall. We have a fall that we break a lot of records, and we track a lot of things in our program beyond just batting average or ERA, you know. So we set all kinds of records, and we set new standards and these systems of success and the different things that we're doing. And then we go, you know, we have our Christmas break, and we come back and the start of the season, and everybody's fired up, everybody's excited, everybody's talking about what they did during their separation season when they're away from us. And day one, we hit the ground running. I think we had a couple things on the practice plan we wanted to accomplish, and I think we got a couple things done that day. But I remember in my role, I try to help with the pitchers. I try to help with the hitters. I try to just work my way around, communicate, talk to people, try to be a problem solver. And all those things take a ton of time, but I love every minute of what I get to do. And I remember walking onto the hitting side where we have six cages going full bore, and they're all doing different things. And I remember like kind of seeing you, and you look like you were pretty busy. You want to talk about that at all?
Yes, of course. In the fall, I kind of was just getting used to coaching, getting used to the position, and being, like you said, on the other side of the dugout. And thankfully, this spring season, since we've started, I've been able to take on some more responsibility, mm-hmm. and been able to provide more service to the program. And with that comes, you know, a little more stress, and like, you know, and stress is great. Stress helps you grow. So I was definitely busy.
What'd you have on your plate that day?
Yeah, so I had to take on the vision program, which we started day one here in the spring, just now, a couple days ago. And
we've been doing it for years, but yes. Ryan has taken the reins for handling the vision training program, and which is interesting reins in its own way, because you took part of as a student athlete in the vision training program, which I think helps in a lot of ways because it gives you a different perspective, basically, to make things better.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely was able to see the stuff that worked well with it last year, and then maybe some things that I was maybe like, oh, maybe that could be done a little better.
Why do you think vision training would be important for baseball players?
Well, there are studies that show that we tend to converge our eyes on a single point, mm-hmm. kind of like our phones, computers, TVs, and strengthening our eyes will kind of combat that weakening that we get daily with using our...
Yeah, because they're basically coming in this direction because you're looking at it at the single points, which in the game of baseball or in sports or other things that you're doing, that's not always the most conducive thing for your eyeballs to be in those spots. So we work with Sports Vision Institute and Dr. Bailey, and she's been incredible with our program in the amount of feedback, the amount of support that she's given our program over the years. It's just been incredible. So you're handling the vision training portion of our practice, which is about 15 minutes or so at this point. What else did you have on your plate that day?
And then we got right into a new speed program.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right after.
How's the speed program been going this year?
Absolutely incredible. I've not seen numbers like these.
Did you think it was going to be incredible when we started in August? Or I think we started in August, yes, somewhere in there. So do you think it was going to be like that? Because I don't necessarily, I wasn't 100%. I took a lot of the speed training and agility certifications that I'd gotten when I was working in facilities and through CSAC and different things. And I'd taken those and just tried to modernize some of the things and, you know, use some of the tried and true stuff. But I knew it worked in the facility setting, which is different than a team aspect. But I was definitely did not expect the stuff that we saw.
Without a doubt, yeah. I tended to think that usually you do a speed training when you're slow, but we have the privilege of having a lot of pretty fast guys in our team already.
Probably the fastest team we've ever had here.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure how much they were going to grow from what they were because we were already really fast. And I didn't really necessarily think we absolutely needed it. But like you told me, and you stress throughout the fall, is that any advantage we can get, we are going to try and take it. So it was really amazing to see the numbers. Just through 4 weeks of the training, we saw a drastic decrease in times, and guys got a lot faster. The reaction time was better, and overall, just an amazing experience. So we're just going to keep it going and maintain it through the season to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and right now we're trying to basically do the high-low for the CNS systems, and so we're doing speed training on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, which also aligns with the days that we're in the weight room in the spring season, which also aligns with the days that we have the bat speed or whatever we might be doing with our hitters. And so those Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, there's longer durations in rotations for the pods. There's bullpens going on. There's a fair amount going on at our indoor practice, and we're thankful to be able to spend our time when it's really cold or it's raining or it's snowing at the Capital City Kingdom. And Joe McDonald, once again, has been incredible for us. He's been on our podcast here. But, you know, we have a lot of space there that we can use, and it's a lot better than being outside right now.
Oh, without a doubt.
So beyond being, like, super busy, how's the first few days? We've had leadership, identity, ITS. You know, we've had a lot of different things that we've got going on at this point. This week's a pretty busy week, I know, for me for sure. But what's it been like for you?
Well, coming off of the ABCA, I kind of tweaked my mentality and just making sure I set the tone for this season and staying as locked in as I can, making sure things run as smoothly as they can, and just making sure I can keep guys accountable. So with that comes, you know, like I've said, a little bit of stress, making sure everything runs smoothly when things don't necessarily run smoothly all the time. But haven't been this happy, or I haven't had this feeling of a sense of, like, purpose
yeah,
in a way, like, probably ever other than playing the game. So it's been pretty amazing.
It's the beauty of coaching.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an awesome job. We are about 30 days away or so before we start traveling. We open up on February 19th in Virginia, and we're in Virginia for, I think, a 4-game series. And then we come home, and we're home for about 3 or 4 days. And then we're back on the road to Georgia, and then we'll go from Georgia to Mississippi, and then we'll go from beautiful Biloxi to Florida, you know. And so we play a lot of our games to start the season on the road. Typically in a normal season, it's about our first 20 games of the season are on the road, mainly because we do not have a turf field, and mainly because we're in Michigan. And even if we had a turf field, I'm not sure that we could play a lot of times. But we play a lot of games on the road, and most of those games are, you know, further away. And then we get to come home after Florida and we'll start our conference season and away we'll go. And I know the question I get asked every year is pretty simple, but it's anything but simple to answer it. And like, how's the team going to be this year? You know, you gonna go back to the World Series? You know, those are the two questions I get a lot. And I feel like I can't be super genuine when I'm answering those because you never really know about teams. You can have the most talent in the world, and if they don't quite buy in, I know some of our listeners can relate to that too. You know, you can relate to that. You've been on teams before where you can have a lot of talent, but at the end of the day, talent does make a difference, no doubt about it. But if you look at what really moves the needle, it's more than hard work and it's more than talent. And I think the jury's still out on this team. Could be special, could be a normal, really successful team here at LCC. We'll have to wait and see. And certainly you've done a lot of great stuff. And as I give you more things, you're taking it and running with it. And I've enjoyed watching you enjoy yourself at practice. And I've enjoyed a little bit on Monday when I saw you stressing out a little bit. I thought that's all part of growth and that's all part of the journey. So thank you for coming aboard, and not only coming aboard, but also giving like all in max effort. So anything else on the start of the season that I haven't covered that our listeners need to hear about?
Yeah, no, I just really just want to reiterate that we really just need to have that mental toughness for this season and the ability to respond when things get tough. Something that's coming up soon is that spring trip, and we're going to be on the bus a lot. And so one of the main things that I'm going to make a point of is like, get used to the bus. Like, you guys are going to be on it for more than you're anywhere else. So
yeah, very true. And you can learn how to be efficient for your body, your mind on a bus. You just got to think ahead. And I think that's one of the bigger things that we talk about in our program is just, you know, where preparation meets opportunity. And sometimes those opportunities aren't legendary opportunities. They're not the biggest opportunity in the world. But if you can be prepared, if you can put some time in to prepare, you're going to have a much better shot at just really maximizing those opportunities that you're given. And the preparation meets opportunity. Until next time, thank you for listening. Go all in and go Stas.
Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.